Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 30th, 2026. We'll start with a story titled Mayoral Salary is Hot Topic in Danville, written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. The mayoral salary has been a hot topic, and it came up again during Tuesday's Danville City County Public Works meeting. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. did not say if he is formally running again. However, he has taken some heart for wanting to increase the salary, which would start in 2027. I would just reiterate very strongly that it's not about me, Williams said. Whoever the mayor of Danville is, it may not be me. It may be me. Either way, we need to have a reasonable salary. And also, I want to make sure that we compare apples to apples. You know, a lot of the other information provided by Alderman Tricia Teague is not an apples to apples comparison. He added that many of the places Teague brought up have other districts like a park or transit, while Danville does not. Instead, those fall under the mayoral duties. Some have their own fire districts, Williams said. If you take those couple of things for parks, fire, and mass transit, for me, that's over 100 employees, millions of dollars of capital, and tons of services provided to the community that I oversee that some of these places are not overseeing. During all of the discussion, two aldermen have continuously stated that they were against the proposed mayoral salary increase, Teague and Doug Ahrens. Teague, who just recently announced her candidacy for mayor, believes it should be a moderate raise. I am, however, opposed to raises that are as significant as the raises being proposed, she said. Teague suggested the city continued the trajectory established 4 years ago, increasing the mayor's and treasurer's salaries by $5,000 each year over the next term, rather than approving a one-time steep hike. Ahrens agreed, saying, "You're looking for people that have a public service mind and intention, not ones that are looking to make a 20-year or 30-year career path." Teague also called for revisiting aldermanic pay. She recommended raising it to $4,800 a year, about $50 more per month, but trying compensation directly to attendance. "I would love for it to be based on attendance, because I'm just of the opinion that if you don't work, you don't eat," she said, clinging past instances in which aldermen missed long stretches of meetings while still collecting pay. And Teague said she will be abstaining from voting on the salary. "I recognize that I'm arguing against my own self in interest, but that's what integrity is, doing the right thing even if and when it doesn't serve you personally," Teague said. "My opinion on the salary is the same as for 4 years ago when I wasn't running for mayor. We should be comparing with other cities with the same form of government. I think we are comparable now, which is also why I can't justify a significant increase." Ahrens thinks there should be something to show accountability to the public to justify a raise. "If this city council's responsibility is oversight, accountability, and administration, then there should be a performance evaluation of the position before any raise is considered," Ahrens said. "There's been no evaluation in the city council as to whether it was good or bad to increase the salary last time." Williams says city council meetings are the public evaluation, and he wondered if Ahrens would formally announce his candidacy publicly. "I think it would be best if we saved that for the campaign trail," Williams said. A few members voiced their concern about having qualified candidates if the salary is not increased. "I just think that if we want to attract qualified candidates for this position, we need to raise the mayor's salary," Alderman Eve Ludwig said. "Persons in the private sector capable of running the mayor's office, they're going to likely be discouraged of a salary of 110 or even 115. Ludwig said she believes even $130,000 is too low for the scope of that employment, adding that keeping the pay down risks electing a mayor who must hold side jobs or who is unable to treat the position as full-time. Teague disagreed, calling the position one of public service. When you make it high, yes, you can attract qualified candidates, and you can also attract just as many unqualified candidates or more, she said. We can't be comparing an elected position to corporate America, because it's not the same thing. There are not the same qualifications. There is not the same screening process. Next story is titled, Teague Joins Danville Mayoral Race, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. Another candidate is officially joining the race to be mayor of Danville. Alderwoman Tricia Teague has joined the race. So far, Teague joins Reverend Frank McCullough and Dennis Wiseman as official candidates. Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. says he will not comment on whether he is running yet, and while Alderman Doug Ahrens has not formally announced, there is a committee formed to support and elect Doug Ahrens as mayor of Danville in April of 2027, filed on the Illinois Election Commission's website on February 6th of 2025. Teague will be holding a formal announcement event at 6 p.m. on Monday, May 4th at Soar Space Business Center, located at 2 East Main Street, Suite 36. Teague is a local business owner of the Trepp School and says she is running as a change agent. She is inviting the public to join her movement on Monday. In a media release announcing her candidacy, Teague said she has a 12-point plan for the city, including economic development topics like business retention and attraction, housing, remote worker recruitment, and small business development and support. And she wants to run to reverse Danville's decline. It's going to take out-of-the-box thinking and bold actions to grow our city. As an entrepreneur, I know about thinking outside the box, Teague said. Former Alderwoman Brenda Brown is scheduled to speak. Brenda Brown has been the most influential person in my decision to get involved in social government. I am honored to have her support. Teague is an outspoken person among the city council. Currently, she has voiced her concerns about the proposed increase to the mayoral salary and says she plans to abstain from voting since she is running. Alderwoman Trish Teague, shown here, there's a picture here of Alderman Tricia Teague, shown here at the Trepp School, has officially entered the race for Danville mayor. Teague will make her official announcement at 6 p.m. on Monday, May 4th at Soar Space Business Center, located at 2 East Main Street, Suite 36. Next story is titled, Rise and Shine, Neighborhoods Wake Up to FBI Raids in Danville, again written by Christy Jankowski in Danville. Community members awoke to the sounds of Federal Bureau of Investigation, or the FBI, executing search and arrest warrants in Danville. It was 6:03 in the morning, Tanya Field said, about being woken up with a bang. She shared with the commercial news videos her son Dakota Fields took from inside their home. In the videos, you can clearly hear and see what looks like some sort of flashbang device and an agent saying, "Residents of Tennessee Avenue, this is the FBI with a warrant. Come to the door with your hands up." That older son of mine started recording, Tanya Fields said. He is the braver, bolder one. He's like, "I'm recording this." She said she wanted Dakota to give her the video because it scared me. She said the loud noises and bangs woke her up in the night. It was not a good way to wake up, Tanya Fields added. As for whether she had any idea about why there were federal agents in the neighborhood, she was not sure. "I'm pretty sure he probably had a warrant, and it was probably something to do with drugs or something." Fields said she had read the Springfield FBI Facebook post about conducting arrests and searches in the area. She added that the post was made was up around 2 hours after she was awoken. I mean, we had no warning at all. She said the neighbors were pretty quiet, and one of her sons is friends with one of the children who visited during the summer from Chicago. He only comes down in the summers, and he plays with that kid, and everything always been fine, Tanya said. I mean, that's pretty quiet people. They're pretty quiet people. They sit on their porch sometimes, but I don't see any drug activity or any signs of that, and I've lived here since 2018. She said the experience has made her think highly of anyone in a military combat situation. I told my kid's father, I'm like, if that literally is what it's like over there, they're the bravest men and women I've ever met or can see in my life, because that's scary, Tanya said. And there were a lot of them. There were at least 10 people. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said he was not aware of any law enforcement activity until Wednesday morning. From most of the feedback that I've had from folks, they've seen this as really positive, because they know that they're using every available resource to make Danville as safe as possible, Williams said. I can tell you any time that we can help to make Danville safe, you know it's good. On Facebook early Wednesday morning, the FBI shared on their Springfield page a post about their presence in the area conducting searches and arrests. The Danville Police Department and State Police assisted with Springfield FBI officers in conducting the raids. The Danville Police Department will continue to partner and assist the agencies to reduce violent crime and drug activity that has a negative impact to the quality of life of the citizens in our community, said Danville Police Chief Christopher Yates in an official DPD release. The FBI was contacted but did not provide additional information. Well, there are no obituaries today, so I won't be reading them. So we'll go to the next story, titled County Treasurers Has Mailed 2025 Real Estate Tax Bills. And this is written by a staff reporter in Danville. Vermilion County Treasurer Darren Duncan announced on Tuesday that the 2025 real estate tax bills have been mailed. According to a release from his office, taxpayers have until June 18th to pay their first installment, and then the second installment will be due September 4th. While this piece of mail, none of us look forward to, the treasurer's office strives to mail the bills out on time to allow property owners ample time to know what is owed and then make payment, Duncan said in a release. With the efficient work of the Supervisor of Assessments, County Clerk, and the Treasurer's Office staff, tax bills have again been released on time for the ninth year in a row. With timely billings, distribution of your property tax dollars for the taxing districts in Vermilion County can also be on schedule, ensuring basic local services continue as needed. The release states convenient ways to pay your bill include going online under the Treasurer's tab on the county website, vercounty.org, paying in person at the Joseph G. Cannon Building located at 201 North Vermilion Street in Danville, or paying by phone at 877-221-8591. Taxpayers can pay by credit card, debit card, or e-check online over the phone and in the office, mailing your payment to the P.O. Box 730 Danville, Illinois 61834 is an option, but beware of possible delivery issues with the USPS. Vermilion County banks that accept real estate tax payments include Iroquois Federal, Longview Bank, Prospect Bank, Fisher Bank, First Financial Bank, Philo Exchange Bank, Bank of Rantoul in Rossville, First Financial of Hoopston, Illinois National Bank, First Farmers Bank, and Fountain Trust Company, according to the Treasurer's Office. Additionally, remember to check your tax bill to verify the proper exemptions have been applied. The owner-occupied and senior citizens exemptions are the most common exemptions received by taxpayers. If you have any questions regarding your assessment or exemptions, contact the Supervisor of Assessments Office at 217-554-1940. Any other questions about your tax bills, contact the Treasurer's Office at 217-554-6080. Next story is titled Williamsport Man Sentenced to Prison for Child Exploitation. And this is again written by a staff reporter in Williamsport, Indiana. Adrian Warren of Williamsport, Indiana, was one of two men sentenced to prison this month involving serious child sex crimes. According to a release from the Indiana State Police, Lafayette District, Warren, 51, pleaded guilty on April 2nd to felony charges, including four counts of child exploitation, level 4 felony, and five counts of possession of child sex abuse material, level 5 felony. He was sentenced to a total of 60 years in the Indiana Department of Corrections, with 10 years suspended to probation. On July 31st of 2025, a detective with the Indiana State Police Lafayette District made the arrest following an investigation that began earlier that year. The investigation was initiated in May of 2025 when the Indiana State Police received a cyber tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. During the course of the investigation, detectives discovered images and videos allegedly depicting children believed to be under the age of 12 being sexually abused. Through continued investigative efforts, detectives gathered evidence leading them to believe that Warren was in possession of the illegal material. In coordination with the Warren County Prosecutor's Office, detectives obtained an arrest warrant for Warren, as well as search warrant for his residence in Williamsport. On July 31st, detectives executed the search warrant, located Warren, and transported him to Warren County Jail. He was later taken into custody and turned over to the jail staff. The investigation was conducted with assistance from additional Indiana State Police troopers, Indiana State Crime Scene Investigators known as CSI, Warren County Sheriff's Office, Tippecanoe County Prosecutor's Office, Electronics K-9, and the Warren County Prosecutor's Office. Additionally, Miguel Casas, 30, of Otterbein, Indiana, pleaded guilty and was sentenced on April 26th to multiple felony charges, including two counts of child molesting, level 1 felony, two counts of child molesting, level 4 felony, and four counts of child exploitation, level 4 felony. He was sentenced to 96 years in the Indiana Department of Corrections, 16 of those years suspended to probation. According to the release, these cases reflect the continued commitment to continuing to protecting children and holding offenders accountable. Investigators work diligently to gather evidence, support victims, and ensure that both cases were thoroughly prepared for prosecution. The successful outcomes are the results of strong coordination between law enforcement and the Warren County Prosecutor's Office. Next story is titled Leaders Kick Off Indy 500 Celebrations. And this is written by Leslie Bonilla Munez in Indiana Capital Chronicle. Indiana government and sporting leaders gathered on Wednesday along with a crowd of excited Hoosiers and lively mascots to kick off the month of May festivities for the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500. The automobile race is held over Memorial Day weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This is the best time of the year here in Indianapolis, said Indianapolis Mayor Joe Hogsett, speaking on the steps of Monument Circle. This month is a full-scale production of who we are as a city and what we stand for. And let me tell you just this, Indianapolis never disappoints. The race regularly attracts more than 300,000 fans, making it the largest single-day sporting event in the world. I often get asked, why does the Indy 500 continue to grow. Indianapolis Motor Speedway and IndyCar president Doug Bowles said to the crowd, "Well, it continues to grow because the 350,000 people who show up and the 1.5 million people who live in central Indiana who embrace that race, who bring people to their houses to listen to the radio, watch on TV, or bring more people to sit with them in the grandstands. We are in an epic run," Bowles said, noting the venue is on track to sell out for a second year in a row. Indiana Governor Mike Braun, who has a long history with the race, also attended his first 500 race was in 1975. His wife, Maureen Braun, was among the 500 festival princesses. The program is intended to highlight community-oriented and academically accomplished young women, according to the website. "All I can remember is I wore a gaudy lime green leisure suit," he told the Capital Chronicle. Photographic evidence may not exist, but if it does, its release would be up to Maureen because she would be in it. Braun said he went to a few more races after getting involved in a related industry, but last May, in his first year as governor, he watched it with Indianapolis Motor Speedway owner Roger Penske at the pagoda and spent time walking through the city of Speedway. "That was a ton of fun, he said. Indiana Capital Chronicles, as part of the state's newsroom, a nonprofit news network supported by grants and coalition donors at the 501c3 public charity. Next stories: Barney awarded BEM scholarship. And this is written by a staff reporter in Westville. Easton Barney, a senior at Westville, was recently awarded the Barbara BEM scholarship by the Township Officials of Illinois, known as TOI. Barney was one of 7 graduating high school seniors in Illinois chosen to receive a scholarship from TOI this year out of over 250 applicants. TOI is a statewide association that provides education and legislative representation for more than 11,000 township officials throughout Illinois. The committee's selection was based on many factors, including scholastic achievement, extracurricular activities, and an essay written on the role of township government in today's society and the future. Barney plans to attend Danville Area Community College, majoring in athletic training. Next story is titled, "City Holds Workshop for Community Input," and is written by a staff reporter in Danville. The City of Danville is in partnership with Place Foundry is invited the community to help shape Danville's future as part of the development of the Danville 2050 Comprehensive Plan. This long-range plan will guide growth, development, and public investment over the next 20 years, serving as a blueprint for decisions related to housing, land use, economic development, transportation, infrastructure, parks and recreation, sustainability, and overall quality of life. Community voices have played a key role throughout the process. Several stakeholder meetings and public workshops have already taken place, and more than 300 residents have shared their thoughts through surveys. Using this feedback, the city has prepared a draft comprehensive plan and now wants to hear directly from the public before it is finalized. Residents, business owners, and community stakeholders are encouraged to attend an upcoming public open house to review the draft plan, ask questions, and share ideas. Attendees will have the opportunity to learn more about the vision for Danville's future and provide input that will help guide growth and investment decisions for years to come. The first upcoming workshop will be from 4:30 to 7:30 on Wednesday, May 6th in the Carl at the Riverfront Conference Room located at 516 West Madison Street. The second workshop will be from 10 to 1 p.m. on Thursday, May 7th at Obsidian Coffee located at 137 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Run through the community briefs. Technology classes for older adults. Teaching older adults about staying safe online, video chatting, and choosing a new computer are just classes offered during a series of free classes at Chris Healthy Aging, located at 309 North Franklin Street in Danville. The class will run from 1 to 2 p.m. on Friday, May 1st. No registration is needed. PACE for beginners classes cover a wide range of topics. The AARP Senior Plant Division provides curriculum for each class. Attendees may take as many classes as they wish or choose only classes that fit their needs. For information, go to their website, chrishealthyaging.org, or call the office at 217-443-2999. Fountain County hosts 200th party. Fountain County, Indiana is celebrating its 200th anniversary on Saturday, May 2nd, at the 4-H Fairgrounds located on US 136 west of Petersburg, Indiana. Festivities will run from 9 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time with all-day entertainment, old-time demonstrations, township history displays, and old-time children's activities and games. Entry to the event is free. Food trucks will be on site. Barbershoppers present concert. The Danville Barbershop Chorus will celebrate the music of Americas in a 3 p.m. concert on Saturday, May 2nd at Danville's historic Fisher Theater. This concert will highlight the various styles of American music over the past 250 years. The Danville chapter of Sweet Adelines will also perform as special guests. Tickets range from $30 to $15 and can be reserved online at www.fishertheater.com, or they can be purchased in the box office on the day of the concert. United We Cook tickets on sale. The United Way of Danville area announces that tickets are on sale now for United We Cook 2026 at the David S. Palmer Arena in Danville. The event is scheduled for 5 p.m. on Saturday, May 2nd. Admission is $50 and all attendees must be 21 or older. For more information or to get tickets, contact the United Way through its website at www.unitedway.com. da.org or email at info@unitedwayda.org or by phone at 217-442-3512. And a quick local brief. Queen Program plans meeting. And an informational meeting for the 2026 Miss Fountain County Queen Program will take place from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, May 3rd, at the Table Collective located at 214 4th Street in Covington, Indiana. Reigning Queen Josie Harshbarger and members of the program committee will be on hand to discuss the program and answer questions. To be eligible, contestants must meet residency requirements and be 18 years of age and cannot have reached their 22nd birthday on or before June 1st of 2027. The online contestant portal is open to the applications applications are being accepted. The first practice is scheduled for 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, May 24th at the Fountain County 4-H Fairgrounds at 476 West U.S. 136, Petersburg, Indiana. To learn more about the program, attend the upcoming informational meeting or visit online at missfountaincounty.wixsite.com/queenprogram. To apply, click on the contestant button under More and complete the application form. Deadline to apply is May 24th. To contact the program committee, email missfountainco@gmail.com. Be sure to follow Miss Fountain County on Facebook and Instagram. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, April 30th, last day of April. It seems like the year's going too fast. I don't know about you, but looks like it's going to be a good weekend this weekend. The last couple have been pretty shady, you know, kind of scary, with tornadoes and everything. So hopefully it'll be a good weekend this weekend. Hopefully you can get some yard work done or have family time or whatever. Hope you all have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.